Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast. My name's Vanessa Walker. I'm the managing editor of Money, and I'm here talking to our super columnist, Vita Palestrant. Welcome, Vita.
It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, we're going to delve into the five top mistakes that people make with regards to their super. I think you've got a lot of information on it, yes?
Well, the biggest one, without any doubt, is that people are disengaged. For whatever reason, they regard super as a very boring topic, which they can attend to sometime as they reach retirement. If you had said to them, right at the start, this is your investment portfolio and 11.5% of your salary is going into it, they'd probably pay more attention. But disengagement throughout the 2 to 3, 4 decades that you're in super is just a lost opportunity.
I agree. I think people should think about super as their investment.
It is.
That's exactly what it is.
Yep. That's precisely what it is. It's tax advantaged.
Mm.
There's good regulation around it. What could be better?
And it's automatic.
It's automatic. Your employer puts it in there. The default fund, which people land up in because they don't bother to choose a specific investment option, is very well regulated. Funds that don't perform have to pull up their socks. And if they don't do that, they have to merge with another fund or just stop offering the product.
Yeah, so it's safe. It's very safe.
It's safe.
All right, we jumped the gun because people have been chatting about it for half an hour beforehand, but here we go. Let's start at the top.
Right.
Right, Vita, why pay attention to your super early? It's locked in for 4 decades. You can't access it until around 65, yes.
Right.
60.
Well, by doing that, you'll ensure that you're in the right fund, of a high-performing fund, and that will pay off. Don't forget, when you've got high returns, building up over high returns, you've got all that compounding. It's the magic of compounding. It's doing a fabulous job for you. But also, being engaged, you might find opportunities to put a bit more extra in to maximize that investment, to ensure it grows. You know, people, when they look back, when they reach their point of retirement, people who paid attention don't regret it.
Yes.
People who fail to do that regret it.
Yes.
By then, it's all too late. There you are.
So when you salary sacrifice, you put extra money into your super before tax, you only pay 15% within super.
That's
right.
Is
that correct?
It's taxed at 15%. But there's another tax advantage. By putting that extra in, it might take you down to a lower tax rate. So you get that kicker as well. So you've got money going in that's taxed only at 15% working for you. It's up to you to ensure it's working as hard as possible.
Now, when you say why pay attention earlier, do you say somebody starts getting their superannuation at around 18 when they got their first full-time job? Should they be in a balanced fund or in a high growth fund? Do you have any advice around that?
Well, advisors will often say when you're starting off in your career, you know, markets will correct. If they fail, they'll correct, they'll bounce back. So you can be a bit more aggressive. You could choose a growth fund or even a high growth fund and get better returns. You've got all that time ahead of you to be a little more aggressive and have your super fund growing more. You know, it'll accelerate things.
Yes. So you're playing the long game when
you're
younger.
They're playing the long game. Yeah. But you have to be engaged to do that once again. But unfortunately, people think it's all very boring and they'll worry about it later.
Yes. Yeah. And a message to our readers, don't be those people. be on it early and watch it. And you'll watch it grow. It's compounding interest.
Absolutely. And come retirement, you'll be grateful for being able to enjoy your retirement instead of worrying where the next penny's coming from.
Now, why are the numbers so important? Take us through that.
Okay. let's look at, you know, contributions. Your employer has to put 11.5% of salary in. Come July, it'll go up to 12. If you put a little bit in, just a little bit, it doesn't have to be terribly much, that will compound. In fact, putting in a little bit at the beginning of your work, you know, your work life, will have more impact than panicking right at the end and looking, scratching around to put more money in. And then you have to be aware that if you put more money in, you're allowed to put in at currently $30,000 a year concessionally taxed super. Now you have to take your employer's contribution, that's compulsory contribution, into account. You can't go over that cap.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be minus what your employer has contributed, so you don't go over the cap.
Why do you need to do checks on your existing super fund beforehand?
You want to make sure you're in the right type of fund. How has it performed? Has it been good at long-term performance? Is it good in terms of service? We've got this huge cohort of boomers retiring, and funds aren't well set up to service them. It's one thing when money's going in, but when they need to draw money out, it's a whole other matter. So how good is your fund in terms of even just service?
Mm.
Not only performance, but service becomes very critical as well.
Very good point.
Yeah.
On the homepage of every super fund, they'll have their performance, won't they, over 1, 3, 5, and 10 years? Is that correct?
They do. This is another thing where engagement really matters. You know, how many people actually look at the tools and the help on their super fund? They've got terrific apps. You know, even talk to them. If you want to know how much you can contribute, phone them, ask them so that you don't exceed the cap. Ask them to explain what kind of fund you're in.
Mm.
You know, how much exposure does it have to growth, assets? What are they invested in? You can also look that up on their web pages.
Yeah, and it's all simple. I see now, like with my own fund, it's all pie charts and graphs. It's
That's
simple
right.
for me to understand what they're investing
That's right.
my money in.
That's right. And quite often now, what they're required to actually is list the actual investments that they're investing in. You know, it's one thing just giving you the asset allocation. It's quite another pinpointing the actual companies they invested in, or bonds, or whatever it may be, or property.
That's when it gets deeply interesting, isn't
it? Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no excuse to be disengaged because it's easy to be engaged.
It's very easy to be engaged. I think, you know, it's just that people think retirement is so far off, why bother?
Mm.
And it's all hunky-dory because it's happening automatically.
All right, so this is in the kind of realm of FORO, fear of missing out, and all those other acronyms that we know these days. Is it normal to worry about risks?
Yes. After having been complacent, as the retirement deadline looms, people start to panic somewhat. And that's not ideal. You know, leaving it till then, that's why at least 10 years out.
All right.
Know what you're doing. What happens the day you retire? How do you roll your money over into an account-based pension or whatever it is? There is no default fund in pension phase. You've got to choose.
Ah, all right.
So, you know, and do you want to be in that fund? Maybe the fund doesn't have a retirement product. Some funds, if you've got too low a balance, won't let you roll over into a retirement mode. They'll make you stay in accumulation. Yeah, some have minimums of up to 50,000. So you being taxed.
Oh my goodness. All right.
Those earnings will be taxed. So, you know, people, they're the tiny little aspects that you have to become aware of. And when you do, you start educating yourself about the questions you need to ask.
What strategies can you use to mitigate the fallout if you haven't done the right thing? That sounds judgmental. I don't mean that.
Yeah.
If 10 years out, you haven't got enough money in your super to fund the kind of retirement that you want to have, what can you do?
Well, look, you know, quite often people are coming into money because of inheritance. So look at that seriously. You know, could you can you put money in? The kids might want it, but then, you know, they've got their whole life ahead of them.
Given enough to the kids.
Have a look at making contributions then. There's also something called a downsizer contribution, where you might be in the lead up to retirement and you want a smaller place and you might have cash left over and put it into your super. But then again, you've got to be aware of the caps, the limits that you can place in. So, you know, speak to your fund about it. The other thing is, super funds have seminars that you can watch online, or they might invite people over to physical ones. It's worth taking them up on that sort of thing. It really comes down to knowing what you're doing, as with everything.
Knowledge is power, and that gives you choice.
That gives you choice.
Thanks so much for joining us, Vita. It's been wonderful. I've learned something as well, which is always good. Thank you for joining us this week on Friends with Money, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.